WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. It's Friday, April 14th. Coming up, we'll learn more about Illinois Congresswoman Nikki Budzinski's first 100 days in office, representing the 13th Congressional District. That story is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Class is back in session today at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston. A week-long strike by the union representing faculty and support staff is on hold, while members consider the administration's contract proposal. A ratification vote is expected sometime next week, although a date has not been set. University Professionals of Illinois local president Jennifer Stringfellow says the bargaining team has not endorsed the contract proposal, but that union members decided to bring it up for a vote anyway. The EIU administration says their last, best, and final offer would give faculty and staff a 15% total increase in salary over 4 years. That's bigger than the 12.5% proposal that Eastern President David Glassman had outlined in an op-ed piece released earlier this week. While teachers will be back in class at Eastern today, faculty strikes continue at Chicago State and Governor State Universities. And faculty and staff union members this week overwhelmingly approved a strike authorization question at Northeastern Illinois University in Chicago. Medication abortion remains available in Illinois, despite a new federal court decision that put tighter rules on the drug. Kristen Schorsch reports.
Dueling federal lawsuits have created widespread confusion over a key drug that ends a pregnancy. It's called mifepristone, and it's typically used in combination with another drug. Dr. Allison Kawa is among several abortion providers in Illinois who say they will keep offering both pills.
People should not get the idea that medication abortion is impossible without mifepristone. The truth of the matter is, though, it's not as effective and it has more side effects.
Providers are making plans to offer more in-person abortion procedures if the courts eventually further restrict mifepristone. Advocates also are preparing to ensure travel and lodging for potentially more out-of-state patients. Kristen Schorsch,
Illinois State University's athletic director, has resigned amid questions about spending on a costly donor junket to Indianapolis. Ryan Denham has the story.
Kyle Brennan and his top deputy took the small group of donors to Indianapolis for the Big Ten football championship game in 2021. They flew to Indy on one of Aaron Rossi's private jets, spending over $23,000 on last-minute tickets and hotel rooms. Some in the group also stopped at a strip club. Professor Virginia Harrison is an expert in fundraising and sports at Clemson University. She says wining and dining donors is okay, but it needs to be consistent among donors of a certain type.
So that can ultimately hurt and damage your relationships with other donors and hurt you in the long run.
Brennan's resignation is effective April 30th. ISU has yet to name an acting athletics director. ISU says a full financial audit of athletics is planned. I'm Ryan Denham.
The Urbana Park District Board of Commissioners has approved a contract to build a new health and wellness center. According to the district, this will be the largest building project in all of Urbana's history. Illinois Student Newsroom Stephanie Mosqueda has more.
The Health and Wellness Center project is set to cost $13.8 million, according to the Urbana Park District. The facility will have a basketball court, indoor play areas for children, and a walking track. Sports programming will also be offered. Chandra Bishop, an Urbana resident and member of the Urbana City Council, says the center will help community members in a variety of ways.
Giving some people a place to engage in physical activity, because we know that reduces stress, does a lot for depression and anxiety and those sorts of things.
Bishop says she hopes people in the surrounding areas take advantage of the facility as well. The center is set to be completed in late 2024 in Prairie Park. I'm Stephanie Mosqueda, Illinois Student Newsroom.
Still to come, we'll learn more about Illinois Congresswoman Nikki Budzinski's first 100 days in office, representing the 13th Congressional District. That story is next on 217 Today.
In the third season of the masterpiece Regency drama Sanditon, our heroine, Charlotte Haywood, returns to her resort town with a new fiancé in tow, but life gets a bit complicated when she meets up with an old flame. This hit drama is based on Jane Austen's last incomplete novel. The final season of Sanditon is full of more adventures, scandals, intrigue, and above all else, romance. You can stream every episode now as a friend of WILL. Learn more at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. As she reaches her 100th day in office, Illinois Congresswoman Nikki Budzinski has been touring her congressional district, talking about her goals and what she's done with them. The Springfield Democrat told Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows that one of her goals was to find ways to work constructively with members of the other party.
What I sought out intentionally was to find the people that I could work with. The message that I got from voters was that they expected me to go to D.C. to be a part of the solution, not more of this problem. And I think in this first 100 days, we've been able to work together on a bipartisan basis to find some common allies and friends to do some issues, work on issues that are going to support the communities in Central and Southern Illinois.
You've spoken about finding common allies before, and I'm just wondering, now that we've been through about 3 months of this current Congress, are they there? Are you finding those working relationships where you can do things?
I think so. We've introduced several different bills, and I've had a co-lead that's a Republican on each of them. My very first bill was the LEAP Act. You know, one of the issues I heard about throughout the campaign, especially from the business community, was that we weren't getting people back into jobs, back at work, and we had labor shortages. One of the parts of that issue is that we need to be creating more workforce development programs to get people the skills training they need to get into good paying jobs. The LEAP Act does just that. With a Republican colleague of mine from Columbus, Ohio, Mike Carey, we're co-leading on the LEAP Act, which is a small business tax credit, $1,500 for a small business that hires a pre-apprentice or an apprentice into their workforce.
Using federal tax incentives to encourage businesses to hire apprentices sounds fairly non-controversial, but it's something your predecessor, Rodney Davis, introduced first 10 years ago.
And yep.
It hasn't been passed yet?
It hasn't, but I think we've got a fresh chance at this. I tweaked former Congressman Davis's bill a little bit. There was an age requirement to it. I eliminated the age requirement because I think whether you're young or older, you're looking to get a different set of skills to get into the workplace. I think I've got a great partner in Congressman Mike Carey, and I intend to get it done.
You're serving on the Agriculture Committee, and there's a farm bill in the works now for 2023. What's going on with the farm bill, and what part of that bill is of greatest concern for you?
I'm incredibly excited to get to serve on the House Agriculture Committee because this is a farm bill year. The farm bill only comes up once every 5 years. I have the opportunity to serve on three different subcommittees. I'd say one of those that I've become very interested in is agricultural research. We're here in Urbana-Champaign, the University of Illinois, world-class ACES program. That's a part of the farm bill, funding for agricultural education. From Decatur to Champaign, which is the 13th district, we are leading. We are the cutting edge for ag tech in the country. And the Farm Bill will support those types of innovations and that type of research. So I want to be a part of advocating for that. I'd also highlight crop insurance. Crop insurance is incredibly important. We've seen huge storms, you know, just outside of Springfield in Sherman, got hit by a tornado like about a week ago. Very destructive. So I think there's a lot of great bipartisan opportunities on this committee. And those are the types of issues we're going to be talking about and negotiating in addition to our nutrition program. I can't go without saying over 80% of our farm bill goes to our nutrition program. All of this great stuff is in the farm bill. Lots of benefits to Central and Southern Illinois families.
Looking at the rest of 2023, what do you think is the biggest challenge ahead for you and your interests in this Congress?
Well, I think one of the upcoming kind of more looming debates is going to be around the debt ceiling. We're going to need to raise the debt ceiling in order to pay our bills. I think a lot of this issue gets conflated as one, spending and paying bills. It's actually, I think, two separate issues. We can have a larger conversation around spending as it relates to the budget, but I think it is going to be critically important as we get into the summer, that the debt ceiling is cleanly lifted. There are some indications, obviously, that Republicans are still looking back at, like, cuts to Social Security and Medicare. I'll never stand for that. I'll never support that. And so that's why a lot of my colleagues and I have written to the president to say we want to see a clean debt ceiling lift, not allowed any of our programs like Social Security and Medicare, which our seniors have worked their entire lives to earn as a benefit, to be held hostage in this debate.
That was Illinois Congresswoman Nikki Budzinski talking with Jim Meadows about her first 100 days in office. Budzinski represents Illinois' 13th congressional district, which includes much of Champaign-Urbana, Decatur, Springfield, Carlinville, and the Metro East suburbs of St. Louis. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be partly cloudy with a high of 79 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today contributed by Kristen Schorsch, Ryan Denham, Stephanie Mosqueda, and Jim Meadows. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Farrah Anderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.